This is Defeating the Curse. My name is Joe. I am your fearless leader here tonight with LP and FP. One of our foursome is down. Steve is out sick. Well, that's not the actual story, but that's what we're going to go with for right now. More details on that later. We got a lot to talk about. It's been a half a week since the last time we got together and got our thoughts down on tape.
Wait. Is this what we're doing with Steve? The whole thing that Bruce did with Scott? Is that what this is?
No comment, but that's a big fat zing, isn't it? But hey, let's jump right into it here. We'll get to Scott in a second, but what's going on with Bruce? All of a sudden, he's talking to everybody. I'm not really sure what to take away from it because I wanted to be encouraged. I was a little uneasy, but I left the session, I guess, thinking, hey, maybe they did something different here that makes sense that just wasn't apparent to me at first blush. Maybe, maybe not. I think he came off okay in these interviews, but FP, any big takeaways from what you heard from Bruce?
I liked what he said. He said all the right things. It was definitely rehearsed and prepared. He didn't go in there kind of as candid as I wanted him to go into, but I think it's right now it's try to win back the fan base, and that's mission one. After that, I mean, he said everything we want to hear. The question is what actually happened. My biggest concern was essentially when he said he was the tiebreaker in the draft room. I guess that's a good thing. I mean, he doesn't have a horrible track record, but I mean,
why is that a good thing? Why is that a good thing? It's horrible.
He doesn't have a horrible track record. I mean, I would say him and Scott have had just as many wins as they did busts when it came to draft picks.
He didn't really say that he had the final say in the draft room. He said that it all depends on the grade. And
well, I think
when
he said
they
he's kind
of clarified. Well, he said he was a tiebreaker for
say,
the grade.
Tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Does anybody want him making draft picks, yes or no?
Absolutely not. But does a GM need to be the one making draft picks? Can a GM just be the general manager, the one who oversees the scouting staff, the one who oversees the whole football operations? That he may be able to
who's
do.
Gonna,
can he be
so
a
you
scout?
Want the head coach?
Not a chance.
You want the head coach to make the draft picks? You want
no,
Snyder
want the
to make
scouting
draft picks?
Department. I want Alex Santos, Scott Campbell,
yes,
and the scouting department making these
their former picks. Boss was run out of town, remember? So somebody has to actually answer the phone on draft day and write on the little note card or, I don't know, send a text message or however they make draft picks. Someone's actually got to be the point of contact, right? And right now it's Bruce.
Yeah, let him do that. He can do all the PR facing stuff. I mean, he puts Inova signs up. We already talked about that. He can call the players and probably call them Kurt instead of Kirk.
Yeah. He can complain about
wrong.
Color rush.
Yeah, he can let him do all that stuff. What I don't want him doing is actually being the scout. And I'm not sure in a real football organization how much the GM is actually doing the scouting or how much is he the overseer of the scouts. If he's the overseer, then let him be. I mean, but here's the other thing that I thought about. Why didn't Scott bring in any of his scouts from before?
Well, we know that he tried to bring in a few folks from previously on his staff that were, I believe, on the Packers, and the Redskins denied the request. They wouldn't even let him bring him in for interviews. That
the
was
Packers
really early on
their
his
request.
Tenure.
Yeah,
no,
the Redskins
denied his request to bring his guys on. We can go. I mean, let me double check that right here, but I'm pretty certain that happened, I think, within the first 6 months of his tenure. And apparently that's when the wheels started to maybe not turn as smoothly for Scott and Bruce in particular. That relationship started to strain right away. I'll tell you, for me, what I heard from Bruce, some of it was encouraging. Everything related to Cousins was not encouraging. But there is something that I came away with thinking to myself, you know what? How they handled the Scott McLuhan situation, not ideal. But if he doesn't get another job in the NFL, the Redskins save face and actually don't look as horrible as they do right now, because it would essentially justify the firing if he can't get another job, one of these 32 jobs in the world. If he can't get another one, than what happened at his in his previous stints with his former teams and now with the Redskins, I guess now also a former team, there's some merit there. And maybe it isn't just the Redskins, you know, doing a Redskins thing and letting a talent walk out the door. Maybe there was something more to it. And that's not something I thought I would think, you know, a week ago or 2 weeks ago. But if he doesn't land on his feet, if he doesn't get another job, then maybe the Skins were justified in letting him go. It's still pretty crappy the way they did it, essentially doing it, you know, just after the season, but not soon enough that he can interview and get another job. But maybe if he can't resurface in another, you know, year or two in that same type of role with another team, then he's probably done filling that role for any team. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Bruce avoided the one question that I think everyone wanted to hear, which was Scott fired with or without cause? You know, with cause being that the Redskins don't have to pay him, without cause being that the Redskins have to fulfill their contract and continue to pay him out. And Bruce kind of avoided the question and said, you know, I'm not going to talk about personal matters, which, you know, I guess is the right thing to do. I don't think any employer is going to actually go out in public and say why they fired someone or why they, you know, parted ways with someone, whether it was with or without cause, whether there was alcohol involved or not. And if Scott was fired without cause, then does he really even need another job right now? He's getting paid by the Redskins. Does he want another job? Why doesn't he go back to running his privately owned company that does scouting for the whole NFL and people subscribe to his service? Does he need to be a GM somewhere?
I mean, if he's the genius that he is, there's plenty of teams that would want him to be strictly working for them. I mean, I don't think Scott cares about the money. I think for him, he's not going to get to take a job. He's not going to take a job unless it almost makes everyone forget that there was this bad breakup between us. I think he's only going to accept a job where he comes in, everyone's like, man, that's a great fit. Look at all the stuff that he can do here. And then from there, he'll just work on fixing his image again, his legacy, right? I don't think he cares about money. And I mean, for us, I agree with Joe. Like, I want him to succeed, but at the same time, I kind of want him not to get hired because that just makes us not look as bad, which we need that right now for a front office, just so we can lure in more free agents, more draft picks that come in without a already negative taste. Like, I would just assume if you're a prospect and like Cleveland and Washington are probably like the two teams you don't want to go to, besides like, yeah, we have Kirk, yeah, we'll give you money. But you look at it, you're like, man, that's where careers go to die. I mean, we need to fix that. And I think if Bruce is right and Scott doesn't get hired somewhere else, I mean, I think it makes us look a little bit better.
There's something to be said, though. Hold on. Sorry. First of all, I love it. I love it when people agree with me. Although all my
rare.
Yeah. Okay. you know, last week, JT3 was let go as the head coach of Georgetown basketball, right? And just to draw a quick parallel, you know, Big John is still overseeing components of that program. He's been a part of it for like 40 years. It's just interesting, and it occurred to me, and I'm not sure why local sports talk radio was so obsessed with that Georgetown Hoyas story last week. I mean, it is a big deal to some extent, but not like 3 hours of coverage big deal. Who's going to want to go and coach for a program that's basically led by this institution, you know, John Jr. basically, or Big John, where his son was just let go? Like, the mismanagement of that situation is going to make it very hard to fill that void at head coach. And similarly, I still feel that the Redskins are going to have a hard time backfilling McLuhan's spot, because until, you know, if we can fast forward a year or so and McLuhan is still not employed in this capacity and he's been interviewing and trying, then I think the Skins look better. But until that happens, you know, it's just interesting. Like, I don't see them backfilling this position. There's a lot of names that get thrown around, but anybody who comes in here essentially has to understand from the beginning that Bruce is running the show with Snyder's blessing, and that's just how it's going to be. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's just a, if I'm Scott, you know, to your point, FP, why not just go back to my private sector scouting company, sell what, you know, my scouting reports to the highest bidder of the 32 teams or all of them or however you want to structure your business, never deal with the media again, never do interviews. And yeah, I mean, why deal with this headache? Because anywhere he goes, I would imagine the first question they ask him in an interview is, why did the Redskins drunk? Let you go? Are you a drunk? can you control your, is your wife just going to keep tweeting from the hip and cause problems for us? I mean, just think about that. Like, how does he get reemployed in this capacity with this type
Let
of baggage?
Let me ask this. Let's take a step back. Do we think that we are giving Scott McLuhan a little bit too much credit? He was here for 2 years, ran the draft for 2 years, ran free agency for 2 years. What would you say was his biggest pick? Let's go. Let's kind of go through them just off the top of my head. Stuart Cravens, not so much.
Dude's a stud. And he
or he solved that couldn't get over an injury.
And he brings a unique fan base, one Mia Khalifa in particular.
Let's keep going down the list. Josh Doctson, still to be determined, probably a bust.
No, he stinks.
We got Preston Smith. He had a great year one, kind of stepped back year two.
Year three is going to be huge for him. It needs to be huge for him.
It will
Fuller,
be.
Fuller wasn't good. You know, still to be determined on him.
Fuller was not very good.
Brennan Sheriff, no. Okay, he's a fantastic right guard. Probably drafted a little too early.
Are you nuts? He played like four positions on the offensive line. No, McLuhan was also in charge of the team for the first time in our lifetime. Essentially, they almost made the playoffs 2 years in a row, but had a winning record 2 years in a row. So don't take that away from him either.
What I'm saying is, as Redskins fans, our bar was so low. Our bar was
non-existent.
Our bar was 8 wins, and we are the happiest fan base in the league. So my question is Scott a mediocre to pretty good GM, or was he an excellent GM?
But it doesn't matter. He was better than anyone we have had in that role previously, correct?
Absolutely. But why is it that a high-end to mediocre GM is irreplaceable?
Because we are not – because this franchise is no longer a Mercedes-Benz. Let me just give you a little Joe Azer, theory here, okay, on dating, okay?
Is this Joe Azer or LeVar Bell? You're like LeVar Bell.
I'm going to – listen. Let me just explain something to you,
I'll go Stephen A. Smith on you and
shout. Let me explain something to you for just a second. If you are currently single, okay, and looking and dating, et cetera. Okay, well, I don't want to pick on anybody, but fine, okay? We all think that we are Ferraris and Mercedes and Jaguars, but in reality, sometimes
you have
to come to terms. You may be a Hyundai, okay? Some of us are Kias, and some of us are Suzukis with three wheels and no air conditioning, okay? When we understand what we are better suited to find a mate. The Redskins continue to parade around this league as if they are the class organization of the 80s and 90s. We are not that organization. We are at best, okay, a Mitsubishi. Scott came from an organization that was not a Mitsubishi, and we should have been, and we were thrilled to have him, but now he's gone. So who's going to want to – he elevated us from a Mitsubishi to a Subaru, okay, the official car of lesbians. It's a little bit better, but not really. So now how do we backfill that position? Because, again, as a fan base, we think – we're programmed to think. We've been raised to think. We've always thought of ourselves as this established, amazing, historic franchise, right? The burgundy and gold and the mystique and the band and
complete
the this and
trash.
That.
Ever since Snyder took over, you're right. It became trash.
We are the Subaru of this league, okay? There are some pieces, there's some cars in our lineup that are interesting, but most of them nobody can name and nobody wants to drive them. So How do you replace a guy who basically accepted a position well below where he should be batting based on his previous tenure? Like, who are you going to replace him with, right? Like, we aren't that sexy destination. We're not. We have a monstrous, old, decrepit stadium that nobody wants to go to. We have an owner that people don't like to deal with. We have cap issues, or we've had cap issues. Like, there isn't a whole lot of mystique here, right? Like,
but
at least we have a town that the team is not going to leave. Three teams.
That's
have
not
their,
true.
Their city.
Not, hold on, that's not true. If the right offer were made, I'm not convinced our team would go. But that's for a different podcast.
You know
what I want to say?
But
is
you're
the
right.
Mystique is there, though. You have to look at the mystique from a broader view, right? So we're still one of the most valuable franchises. We still have that history. We have the rivalries. We have the fan base that no matter what the team does, not
what
saying
rivalry?
That our,
what rivalry? Well, hold on. Let's take them one
no,
at a time.
One-sided rivalries, okay? One-sided rivalries.
Okay.
We have our
rivalries. Dallas Week only exists in D.C. As we know from
right.
folks that have lived in Dallas, they don't care when the Skins come
right.
or go.
No, they're
nobody
all
cares.
Because the folks
rivalries.
That live in Dallas don't care for Dallas Cowboys. Only the never been to Dallas fans are the ones who care about Dallas. They don't exist in Texas. Texas is RG3 town, college football, and they don't care about the Cowboys.
What I'm trying to say is I was having this conversation with LP. It was like 2 days ago. What happened with Scott and that type of breakup, the one silver lining is whatever next candidate comes in, I don't want, like I was telling LP, I don't want promote from within because that's absolutely just going to be a yes man. I want somebody from outside. Really, at this point, whatever prospect it is, good. What I'm saying is that breakup caused the next person to come in. He's going to know the questions to ask. He's going to ask, what exactly do you want my role to be? What do you expect from me? And what, like, he's now going to know how to go into that interview, essentially, right?
Hold
so
on,
the breakup
FB,
was so
hold on, hold on, hold on. Okay, it's nice and daisies and roses. Okay. If the Skins win Week 17, does Scott lose his job? Yes or no?
No, you can
probably
see that
not.
From the Bruce.
No.
You can see that from
hold
the
on,
Bruce interview yesterday. Bruce and Dan
I
were
asked,
pissed
first of all,
after
I
that
asked,
Week 17
I
win.
Asked FP. I asked FP. I'll get to you in a second. FP.
And I jumped
if
in.
If the Skins win, make the playoffs as a wild card team, does Scott lose his job, yes or no?
Scott would still be here, and Cousins would probably have a long-term deal.
Thank you so much. Now, LP, please share with us your less valid opinion.
Let me ask, okay, Week 17 was a bad loss for Dan Snyder, for Bruce Allen. As fans, did any of us really feel bad after that loss? I can speak for myself. After Week 17, it took me about 2 days, and I'm like, whatever. Our defense was awful. We'd go to the playoffs. We get boat raced. We had no chance this year anyways, so what's the point of making it a wild card spot?
No, dude, I was crushed.
Fans,
I was 100% crushed, and I was crushed for a long time. Because this team, because it wasn't just about Week 17. It was about the pick in the end zone in Week 2 that if we had beat the Cowboys, we would have locked up a spot and probably in the playoffs in Week 15, maybe even Week 14. It's about
right,
going to London,
PAT.
London, and missing a field goal in overtime to win the game. If we get that, we're going
to
the playoffs.
Good teams don't have those things happen to them, and that's why we were not a good team. So if you
but
as a
in
Redskins
the past,
had higher expectations,
okay.
Let me talk. If you as a Redskins
okay,
fan had
look.
Higher expectations, then you are badly misinformed, my friend.
Listen,
as
let me tell
I
you
explained,
what.
As we, I explained, we are a Mitsubishi, and we started to feel like a Subaru. The improvements were coming. There was some aspects of our team that were improving. Some aspects were not improving. Okay, Doctson was a poor draft choice, not based on his performance, but basically
based on him not
on,
being on the field.
He can't get on the field. And when he gets on the field, it's a one-trick pony weird fade route. Now, you know, to draw a tangent here, the irony of having the one of the shortest receiving cores to now having one of the tallest receiving cores is really interesting.
Hashtag
Brian
Washington
Quick,
Monuments.
hashtag Brian Quick is not quick. Hashtag, oh my goodness, who's going to go down the field to catch the ball?
Can I just
but
say,
oh my goodness, oh my goodness.
Can I just say, week 17 to me, I'm with LP. I didn't care about week 17 because I checked out after that Panthers game. Once we laid an egg in that Panthers game to a team that was checked out themselves, I was like, that's it. We're done. We went from crushing Green Bay to a Carolina game where we couldn't even beat college football teams on that one. Like, we were trash. So by the time week 17 came around, would I have been pleased if we made it? Yes. Would I have been pleased if Kirk didn't throw that pick? Yes. But was I really surprised as a Redskins fan? Was I surprised that's how our season ended? Absolutely not.
Here we go. The college team can beat the pro team. No, it can't happen, okay? There's no collegiate team that can beat any NFL team. That's just dumb.
So
I would say,
college, what
I would say
Bruce
an Alabama
Allen
defense
do?
Could embarrass us.
No, but no. It wouldn't. It can't happen.
Our
it can't
offense
happen.
Was
that's the equivalent. That's the equivalent of us going out there and scoring a touchdown. Like it cannot happen. It cannot happen.
Hey, LP thinks he can kick a field goal.
I've kicked a 50-yard field goal. I think I can run an under 5 second 40.
You were also drunk and at a work
40?
Conference.
No chance. No chance you can run a sub 540. No
all
chance.
Right, so okay. All right. So what does Bruce have to
check
do
my high school
to the
stats.
Fan base that he knows what he's doing? Come on. Back to the point. What does Bruce have to do to make us know that he knows what he's doing? What does he have to do? We have to have a strong draft, right? Is that gonna seal the deal for us? Or is that strong draft gonna be asterisked with did we or did we not use Scott's board? So what happens?
If he uses Scott's board, then he's a genius. Like, why wouldn't you? If you have a good talent evaluator and you have his board, why wouldn't you use it?
No, I agree with that. But what I'm saying is, what can Bruce do then? Because say you have a strong draft, the media, the fans, everyone are going to say, yeah, you used Scott's board, though. Good job, Bruce. You know how to read a board that was created by someone else. So what does Bruce Allen have to do to essentially not want us to have his head on a stick?
He's got a draft for best player available, but also a player that fits the needs. I don't want to see a cornerback in the first round. With inside linebacker, Will Compton, Mason Foster, God bless them. And, you know, Will Compton is going to go train with London Fletcher, but I don't think that's going to make him any better. Those positions need to be upgraded. The defensive line needs to be upgraded. There's too many holes on our defense still, and probably our offense as well, that need to be upgraded, that you can upgrade and still get the best player available. If you ever watched a draft, there's always, you know, who's ranked higher. And if it was truly best player available, then it would go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That just doesn't happen. You have to draft for best player available and something that fits your needs.
Yeah, but the problem is we have needs everywhere.
I would take Ruben Foster.
That's my point. Needs everywhere.
You don't have needs at cornerback. You don't have needs at quarterback.
Yes, we do.
You don't have needs at offensive line.
Well, we definitely have a need at quarterback. Okay, you want Bruce to win the fan base? Sign Cousins to a long-term deal so we can stop talking about it because we're on borrowed time.
We're talking about
here.
The draft, fool. We're talking about needs
okay,
in the draft.
Okay, well, why can't they extend Kirk right now? Why can't they do that right now?
I agree. I've been saying that
because
from podcast
because
one.
Kirk is a genius and he played it perfectly. Kirk bet on himself and he's waiting to get the money. That's
just
why
pay
we
him.
Can get there.
Just pay
was
him so we can move
surprised?
On.
Was anyone surprised when Bruce yesterday said that a tag in 2018 was on the table?
No,
was
no he's lying through his stupid teeth. Franchise.
He's a politician. He's lying through his teeth. He's lying through his teeth. But I'll tell you what, as far as the draft, Foster would be interesting. I think he's like, admittedly, I don't know a whole lot about him. I do know, you know, there was some off the field stuff, but hey, we went off the field all the time, so he might fit in perfectly here. But Christian McCaffrey to me is interesting, right? There's just something appealing about a running back of his stature that would be interesting on our team. We've never had one. I don't want to play the race card, but isn't it just a little unique here? Wouldn't you guys agree? Doesn't he remind you of someone else, another running back on the Redskins from a long time ago? No?
You're talking about Riggo?
Riggo, who was not very good compared to today's talent. But I don't know. It just seems like a fit.
He's a bust.
He just seems like a Redskins guy. I don't know why.
We'll see. I mean, running back is a position of need, so I would be fine with that. I just want to see him draft positions of need. I think last year we saw, you know, receiver in the first round. I guess the whole plan was to let Deshaun and Pierre walk. I guess maybe Scott had that foresight. And every Redskins fan was like, why are we drafting a receiver when we have Deshaun and Pierre and Crowder and Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis? And why are we drafting a receiver? But I guess
can he draft a defensive line coach?
He actually said that Tom Sula was the biggest defensive line acquisition in the free agency.
And then he mentioned
anybody buying that? Anybody thrilled? Anybody thrilled about Jimbo? Anybody?
He has his own theme song. He has his own theme song.
I mean, this is the guy who
replay
went. He went 5-72 as the 49ers head coach after his stint in the NFL Europe.
I don't think you can compare a position coach to where you're at, head coach. Head coach is pretty much
a
managerial position. I know. That's what I'm saying. A head coach is equivalent to managerial position. A line or a position coach is equivalent to like an individual contributor. So just because you're a hardworking individual contributor doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be a great manager.
Okay.
All he has to do is teach the linemen get low. There's one rule for defensive linemen: low man wins. That's it. If Tom Sula can say that, he's a great defensive line coach. Low man wins.
Hold on.
Be fat. Low man wins.
He was the D line coach for the 49ers for like 100 years, wasn't he? He was the D line coach under Mike Nolan, former Redskins guy, Singletary, Harbaugh, like. And then he got bumped to head coach and, you know, crapped the bed. And now
he's the Jim Zorn of the 49ers.
But now we're acquiring talent and letting talent go based on this guy's recommendation. I'm not okay with that. I said this on a couple podcasts now. Chris Baker is so far the biggest free agent loss that this team has sustained. And they replaced him with two guys that aren't as good. But because Jimbo says, hey, these guys fit my system, we all just – okay, this is a good move.
What Bruce said is, he said that Tom Sula is a great teacher of players. So if Tom Sula can take a younger player or draft a player and mold them to be the type of player that he needs, why not? But, I mean, we've heard
I'm
that
sorry,
all before.
I'm sorry, was Chris Baker like 40 years old or something?
Actually, they said Joe Barry was a great teacher. Let's see how we all know how that works
out. Joe Barry couldn't describe a zone defense and said it was too complicated to explain to his players. So Joe Barry was not a good teacher.
Do we have a strength to our defense?
Jano? It's a one man strength, pretty much.
Kerrigan for a good 3/4 of the year?
Okay.
That's questionable.
Questionable. Okay, so.
But it's got to be Jano. Jano is definitely the best player on defense.
Yeah,
even Jano, is he a game changer right now? He wasn't last year. Is he a very, very solid cornerback? Absolutely.
He demands respect. I mean, that's all you can – I mean, he makes other offenses essentially look to one side of the field for us. I mean, not as much as a Sherman, but for us, I mean, it's gotten easier with him.
Did you see
what he did
to him in Cleveland?
Maybe they let first of all, that was here, and it was the first half. Because if I recall, in the second half, your boy had no catches for a big fat no yards in the second half.
Hopefully they can make each other better this year.
When you have Jano on an island, is they just target the slot guy, and Fuller is just going to leave him wide open.
I didn't know Norman Island was a thing. I guess that's fitting now that Revis is, a degenerate. Norman Island. Okay, so McGee and McLean, you guys aren't big on these guys either, right? They're pieces, right? Nobody's thrilled about their acquisition.
I'm honestly not that concerned about them because our run defense was such crap last year. I can't see it getting that much worse. losing Baker sucked, but I mean, I don't see it getting that much worse. And really, like, unless you have like a top five elite defensive lineman, interior defensive lineman, they're all the same. They're all the same, right? And
losing
it really
Baker
does
sucks.
Come down to coaching. It does,
losing Baker
it
sucks,
suck.
But do you think he's going to get 9 sacks again this year? I'd be willing to put some money that he's not.
It's not his job. I mean, as nose tackle, his job is not to go get sacks, right? His job is to clog the middle and make it impossible to run straight down or between the tackles. I mean, that was his job, and I think he did it well.
The thing
and
is,
it sucks that
if
he walked.
Losing Baker sucked, but if we can answer the need that we have with our interior linebackers, our middle linebackers, if we can fill that need, at that point, it really won't matter who your interior linemen are, because those linebackers should get right in there, clean up the trash, and make that defense look whole. We never had that. So, Baker or not, replacements or not, you need to fix those interior middle linebackers up, and that solidifies your whole defense. I mean, that is the core of the defense, and that is probably our weakest part on defense.
What about the corners? What about the new cornerback, the DB coach, this young up-and-coming guy? Breland, I was listening to an interview with him earlier today, and he said he was shaken up by the Norman signing because he thought he was going to be the number one guy, and he was pissed off a little bit, and it took him some time to get his head back on straight. And we saw that in his play last year. Do you think he takes a step up, or does he continue to regress? I know he started his rap career recently. I don't know what kind of effect
that's
going to have.
He might be distracted, but honestly, I like Breland, but he, to me, is a solid number three. He's not a solid number two. So,
no, I think he's a number two. I think he's a number two, and I think, you know, I prefer when professional athletes focus on being professional athletes and not movie stars and rappers. But he's shown the ability to cover. He's shown the ability to not, you know, both in a zone defense and in a man-to-man. So he's got the ability to do it.
It's inconsistent at this point.
It is inconsistent, but we also didn't play a consistent style of defense all of last year, and I think that's part of it as well. How many times did we see Norman go on the sideline and go bananas because he wanted to go man to man with a receiver? He wanted to trail somebody on both sides of the field. Like, part of that was coaching as well. I mean, these guys are skilled. You don't get to this level without skill and God given talent. Now,
I'll agree with that.
Now,
Breland was a shutdown before Norman came. I mean, how many times did he shut down Dez Bryant?
He was slated to be our number one. He was slated to be our number one, right? And Norman fell into our laps, and everybody got excited. I agree, he didn't have a great season last year, but the talent is there. Fuller is also, to me, he's got the talent to play the position as well. As he got burned regularly last year, but he shouldn't have been on the field as much as he was. That's the reality of it. And D'Angelo Hall, I mean, you know, the old man was getting it done, you know, in that nickel and dime package, and it just didn't, you know, his body doesn't hold up anymore. And you know, him going down early on in the season, Fuller had to play more minutes. And it cost us in several games. I mean, he got burned left and right in some of these matchups. So there's some holes back there. But the secondary, in my opinion, is the strength of our defense right now.
You got to give it to coaching too, right? So Joe Barry, I mean, he had his issues, but bringing in new blood, bringing in someone who, well, kind of new blood, bringing in someone who's got higher energy, someone who maybe is a player's coach, someone who players respect, kind of like a Gruden is, but on the defensive side, I think that will that'll help the defense, and with a more basic scheme that's not all 3-4 crazy blitzes should help the defense better. But you have teams in the division who have just gotten better on offense, so our defense has got to step it up.
You want to talk about basic scheme? You know, how's this for a segue? Let's talk about the U.S. men's national team and the boring 4-4-2 that Bruce Arena trotted out there the other night. Did you guys watch that game? I know we don't talk a whole lot of soccer here, but that game was something else.
I tried to catch some of it. I was out enjoying my Friday night.
I'm a true and true soccer fan, but when it comes to U.S. soccer, I mean, that's where I'm at.
I've been playing soccer my whole entire life, coached soccer, so I think I know a little bit about it. I probably think I know more than I actually know. But this 4-4-2 has kind of been what the U.S. has played, you know, throughout as far as back as I can remember, with the exception of Klinsmann era. The long ball is just really ugly and really boring and can wreak havoc, but can also leave major holes and pretty much playing on the defensive side of the half the whole time. However, I saw, what was it, last Thursday? And I just, it was all clicking. I think this is pretty much the reason why they brought Bruce Arena in, right?
His number one pass was to
qualify. The U.S.
Yeah, well, they didn't. I don't think they searched really far and wide to find a replacement when they decided to let the well tanned khaki wearing Klinsmann go. But there's a lot to say about Arena. I mean, he had limited success. Well, more than limited success with the national team before busting out of the World Cup, and then. I forget which one it was. And then the next World Cup, we didn't get out of the first round. And then he got fired. And then he went to coach, I believe, the Galaxy and won like 5 championships or 3 championships, whatever it was. I mean, the guy can coach. That's not a question. I wasn't thrilled with this like tired retread type of like hire because he's a very one-dimensional coach based on what I know and what I've seen. I watch a lot of European soccer, specifically EPL. I love the Gunners. I love watching the teams in England play. I just love that style. I really don't get into the Italian stuff. It's too slow. It's a bunch of old people. It feels like the MLS to me in a different language on a different continent. And, you know, the Spanish league is awesome too, but it's basically a three-headed beast. So I personally like the EPL. And what you don't see in the EPL is a whole lot of teams playing 4-4-2. Actually, you don't see a lot of teams, period, anywhere in the world playing a lot of 4-4-2.
It's just the U.S. that you see the 4-4-2. You see it in MLS very heavily, and you see it in U.S. soccer. Outside of that, you don't really see the 4-4-2.
But it's just a boring style, right? Like the ticky-tack passing that has become so popular based on, like, Barcelona's success over the last, like, decade, basically. Like, we've never had the tacticians and the ball skill, if you will, to actually implement some of that stuff. And you could almost see it with Klinsmann. Like, he's bringing people over. He's bringing – like, I feel like he only recruited German-Americans from Germany to play on the American team. But even they were raw and couldn't – that ticky-tack style, the passes, hold the ball, possession, it's just not how we work. It's like – it's unpatriotic or something to, like, not just attack, like, in football or in basketball or in the sports that we grew up watching. But that being said, it is a defensive nightmare when your midfielders are dominating the way the U.S. dominated the other night. You can't get on the ball, and suddenly there's all kinds of passing lanes. You just pick a side and you pick it apart. And I think in the first half, there wasn't a single missed pass. If I read that correctly, that stat, I think I read that somewhere. The guys didn't miss a pass on the left side of the pitch the entire first half. How do you defend that? Dempsey looked amazing. Bradley looked better than he's looked in the past. He's an unsung hero, by the way.
Hold on. You missed the most important player that played last week.
I didn't. Christian
Pulisic is on fire.
I didn't miss him.
He's got to come off first. He was involved in, what, the first 3 or 4 goals? I mean, that kid is, to me, he is the reason why this U.S. team even has a chance to win a single game. That allows you to put Michael Bradley a little bit further back. That allows you to have Christian Pulisic.
Does he play? Oh, well, you're talking tactics, but he's not more important than the goalie, right? We don't have a goalie. I think both of our number one and number two goalies stink. I agree with you. Pulisic is a stud, and he's been getting it done in Europe now for the better part of 3 seasons. And yeah, it's exciting to see him come in and actually do what he does on the national stage here. But he can't pass himself the ball, and that's always going to be my point. Like, I'm sorry, like, strikers are just not more important than midfielders and folks that are there to set up the offense.
Yeah, but that's the thing with him. He's not the one who's been scoring the goals. So he got Legit involved. He got Dempsey involved. He got a lot of other players involved. One, because of speed, it causes other defenders to kind of pull his way and leaves a little hole for that runner. He's got the crazy ball skills. I don't know.
He's got some better ball skills. Who's a better prospect
that we've seen in the last 15 years in U.S. soccer than Christian Pulisic?
Well, I think Dempsey's proved that he's lived up to the hype, hasn't he? Michael Bradley's lived up to the hype. Everybody got on him because he's the coach's son, but the dude has held his own under every coach on every stage, even his stint in Italy. I mean, and with his current team in MLS, like the guy gets it done. He's the unsung hero of the team. I love the way he plays, but again, I remember reading, or maybe it was a conversation. I think it was a conversation with a buddy of mine. We were talking about like why can't our like American soccer players, why can't we dribble and pass and have that touch on the ball? And it was really interesting. It basically, the person summarized it this way: outside of the United States, when you're going to play soccer on a field or in the street or somewhere, you dribble the ball. Like the boys and the girls are dribbling the ball from their house to wherever they're going, like down the street, on the rocks, on the whatever, like the ball's on their feet. Only in America do we carry the ball to wherever we're going. If you contrast that with the NBA for a second, or with the basketball, if you're going to play basketball, you don't carry the ball in your hand and walk to the court, right? Most of us are going to dribble it, and that's just how we were raised. We dribble the ball. It's just weird that we never did that in soccer, but that sort of explains why when you get into game situations, when the other team presses specifically up, like really up the pitch to try to get the ball away, we can't complete passes. And that's something that it's bigger than the coach. It's bigger than the tactic. It's bigger than the prospect. It just speaks to, like, we really don't have a soccer tradition yet. It's growing, and the outlaw movement and the chants and the stadiums are always full. It's got to be one of the best sporting atmospheres outside of, like, the Olympics when USA puts on, obviously, like, the medal show, whether it's in the pool or anywhere else. I mean, U.S. men's national soccer and even women's soccer, I feel like people really do get up for it, and it's must-watch TV. And people tune in. I think people are still learning the game here. I think some of us that grew up in the FIFA generation have taken to the players and the tactics and the skill. And personally, if you're a kid and you play video games, FIFA outsells Madden every year. And there's a really simple reason why. There's more teams, more strategy, more players, no commercials, and no breaks in the action. And I think that's why the next generation of sports fans and video gamers in particular, but sports fans in general, I think soccer really has a chance here to explode in our lifetime. And it's because it's the anti-commercialized sport with the NBA, who's got sponsors on the board and on the rim and on the court and on the jerseys. And you got the NFL, which every segment is sponsored by someone, and there's commercials every 10 seconds. And like the NFL is actually one of the more painful sports to watch. And then you have soccer, which is just straight action, 45 minutes, no interruption. It's perfect for the ADD generation. Soccer,
what U.S. soccer needs is we need a player who's got that swag to him. We need a player who's got the crazy hair, who's got the big guns or whatever it is, and who's a top-tier player in the U.S. We half the national team plays overseas. So outside of, what, 4 or 5 games a year, the U.S. National media is not really watching these players.
That's a good point. They also don't get to play together that often. Just qualifiers. I mean, they have an uphill battle. But I agree with you that the atmosphere for that game was awesome. The team is on the rise. Listen, Arena, he deserves a shot, whether it's a boring tactic or not. If he can produce that type of, if he can get the boys up for these games, then that's awesome, and he should continue to hit whatever magic buttons he's hitting, because they looked great. They were playing inspired ball, and even the old ball coach, even Klinsmann on Twitter, was like high-fiving them and sending out like well wishes and good vibes, and that was awesome to see. I definitely didn't expect to see that, but I think we got to do more soccer on this show, guys. I love soccer.
What do you think happens tomorrow against Panama? That's a huge game. That will put us back in qualifying.
Easy. U.S. wins 7-0.
7-0.
We'll see. I can't really tell you much.
I'll take 2-1. 2-1.
I think it's going to be. I know nothing about soccer,
but I will be watching that game tomorrow. So
you got to get into it. Maybe we should change this podcast into a soccer only. EPL and Euro soccer.
I quit.
So are we gonna jump into the Cavaliers and LeBron continuing to complain on the sideline, or should we save that for tomorrow?
I don't know. Last I checked, LeBron got his butt kicked by the Wizards.
Oh yeah, and the C's are closing in on number one. The Eastern Conference is gonna be awesome over the next 2 weeks.
They are number one. No, the Cavs just lost. They are number one now.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
What'd they lose by 30?
So right now the Cavs are one, the Celtics are one, the Cavs are two, we're three. I kind of want us to slip down into fourth so that we don't have to face Cleveland in the second round. Personally.
Oh, no, baby.
No
give me
way.
Cleveland. Give me Cleveland. Yeah.
We have that matchup locked up.
It is a listen. The podcast is called Defeating the Curse for a reason. Cleveland is a different team come playoff time. It's a month away, completely different. It's a whole new league.
Kyle Korver, a.k.a. Ashton Kutcher, is not playing. Am I correct? He didn't play today. I think he's injured. He's injured. And no, dude, that team doesn't scare me at all. And as long as LeBron keeps complaining and not focusing on playoff basketball – yeah, we got to get into this topic. Let's get into this tomorrow.
We'll get into it.
We'll get Stevie on this one, too. Oh, we got to talk about
this one's going to be heated.
I know we don't do a lot of national stuff, but we got to talk about the current MVP race. Because, what Harden's doing and what Westbrook are doing is incredible. But if the Wizards can climb into – if they can climb into first, I could make the case that John Wall should be the league MVP.
What about
I can make that case right now. If we get to 50 wins, which is very possible, 5 wins away with what? Like
50
nine
wins. One win
50
away.
Wins.
And we,
amazing.
One win away, and we break the longest drought for a professional team to win a division title. Division titles mean nothing in the NBA, but still, the longest professional drought in all four major sports is the Wizards right now.
Guys, I'm really encouraged by the Wizards' performance the last few nights. It almost seems like they've kind of gone back to dominating.
They got their swag back.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
And without Bojo.
This
Bo
podcast
Buckets,
is
baby.
Called, it is called Defeating
Bo
the
Buckets.
Curse. The curse is out there. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, man. Okay, we got to get into this stuff. We definitely got to get into this stuff. LP, where can they find all of our stuff?
Let's go on Twitter at Defeat the Curse, on Instagram at Defeating the Curse, and check out our blog with our new page for all our podcasts in one spot at DefeatingTheCurse.com.
Special shout-out to our boy Stevie. We'll get into why he's not here on the next podcast.
We won't talk about personal matters.
We definitely talk about personal matters. All right, we outie.